Welcome to Insomniacs.
We're your hosts, Myra
and Jenny.
Hey, Myra, how's it going?
Stressful.
Yeah. Oh.
How about you?
Preach. I am super duper duper stressed. I am in the middle of some transition at work where we've had an employee who gave notice and we're replacing that employee, but it's taking longer and there's more chaos in between. In addition, I've had a family member who was defrauded of some pretty significant funds, and I'm trying to help out with that, which is taking up some time I don't have in the middle of a very busy season. So it's feeling super stressy on my side as well. What have you been up to?
Sewing-wise or regular life?
I mean, you can go either way.
I guess that's true. Regular life, I'm down to the, like, final countdown for school. I just made a list today of every assignment due in every class because we're at the point where that is a reasonable list that doesn't make me want to cry. So that's
cool.
Exciting. So I've mostly been doing schoolwork. That's it. Oh, and I started playing Fallout 4, which I've never played before, but my dad played and I have missed it. And
have you started watching the TV show?
No, but I'm gonna.
It's cute. We watched episode 1. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of murdery stuff.
Okay, cool. But I was going to say, is it just...
Stylistically,
oh, yeah,
it's
it should
very
be like,
adorable.
I assume it has to do with like Vault Tech, right? So they're like being all adorable and like, strength is what you get from killing your enemies.
Not so much that yet.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully that's coming.
But we've seen a few posters, which
yeah,
I know
cute.
Because you may recall...
Oh,
when I
yeah.
had a house, my
Hit
kitchen
Boy.
Was decorated
in
Fallout 4.
I know. And it's like the one video game franchise I've like missed. I mean, I guess there's been multiple that I've missed, but that's like a popular one I've missed. So I've been playing Fallout as my relax from school because I don't have the brain power to sew when I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, that just makes mistakes. Like I was sewing... I was really exhausted recently, and I was sewing two pieces together, and as it's just match the sides, do a side seam. I'm sewing halfway down the side seam. I'm like... Well, I've run out of fabric on one of my two sides. That's got to be an orientation problem. And indeed it was. I had matched up the side with the top edge. And so I was sewing a side to a top edge, and I had to pull the whole stinker out and redo it. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pin these pieces together. This is a problem for tomorrow.
Yep.
And I stepped back.
I did that recently with a circle skirt. It was gored. And I sewed the bottom to the top. Like,
yeah.
I just flipped it. So then,
so
like, the waistband's all wacky.
Straight, yeah,
yeah, it was all wacky.
It's not good.
It was not good. No.
For
bad.
Sure. Have you been having any luck with sewing in spite of the stress?
So I haven't really had any luck with sewing, but that means that what I usually do is think about ideas. So I have some ideas.
Ideas are good.
I have always wanted to go to the Titanic Museum in Pigeon Forge because it is delightfully macabre. They
yes.
have an obstacle course of the ship, which is horrible because people died and we made it a fun activity. Also, I really want to go. That just sounds like fun. I have always loved that era of history. I am so here for it. And
I read those books over and over in sixth grade.
Why would you, like, Disney bounding is one of my favorite things where you make an outfit inspired by a Disney character. Why would I not apply that to my whole life? So I'm thinking about trying to make... Rose's like chiffon purple and pink dress she wears in the water when she's dying. Well, I guess she doesn't die, but where
she's
like, she pushes him off the thing, but whatever. While she's lying on the thing. And so I was like, I could make a Disney bound 1950s version of this dress and wear it to the Titanic Museum.
Okay. What I need to know is,
I think,
where will the door be? And will there be a tiny jack hanging off of it?
I was thinking a purse that's the door would be very cute.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe like a little handbag clutch situation. Very chic.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I get a little jack keychain.
Yep.
Yep. That'll be great. But obviously like a frosted jack. Anyways.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
What's your sewing life been like?
So I'm going to go ahead and...
Oh my God. Brooks and Camper, please, no.
I'm going to start with I sewed up the jet dress from Taco Magazine
issue
9.
Oh, that's not Brooks and Camper. Good job.
No, that's a dress I designed.
Good job. Excellent work.
And it was published several months ago.
Sure.
And I saw some really great examples of it that had been done big check prints with where they'd altered what I did. I had petal sleeves and puff sleeves. They used the petal sleeves. And then several examples I saw, instead of pleating on the front, they gathered on the front. And I thought, that's actually really, really cute in that fabric. So I wanted to duplicate that. And I did. And I did it successfully. And I felt pretty good about it. And so I was really excited to get that done. I'm the tiniest bit stalled in my tops class by Brooks Ann Camper.
Ugh.
Now, I'm stalled because it turns out, so for a skirt, there's a very limited number of measurements and adjustments I have to be able to do myself looking in a mirror and glancing around behind me, which isn't easy for me to do because I got a lot of me, and being able to see that other side of me is pretty rough all by myself. But I was able to kind of get to a place where the points I needed to know about, which are your waist, your hip, and length to knee, I mean, that's, it's not that much, that I could get that done. And then from there, it's adjusting the darts, but you can literally do that on your body because your first guess at the dart, if it's too big or too small, you just adjust it on your body and transfer it to the paper, right? But when you think about trying to do the tube that has holes for your arms, space for whatever size chest you might have, concave or convexness where your belly or your hips are, there's a lot of different measurable moments. And most of them, you're not going to be able to do easily on your own. And I'm going to make the argument that the fatter you are, the harder some of those are going to be. Because there's a little tool we build that kind of looks like a slide rule with uprights on both ends, but you're using it under your arm to determine how wide your armhole should be. When I put my arm straight down, my armhole doesn't need to be as big as the fat on my arm that pushes out, makes it seem like it needs to be. The hole itself, the sleeve needs to be bigger. That's my bicep adjustment. The hole itself doesn't have to be that big. How do I measure? Like, it's harder to measure. So I very cleverly realized I live with another adult human being.
Oh, no, but it's Dad.
Who has been known in his lifetime to wear clothing and, better still, to observe that other people wear clothing.
No, he can't do measurements, though.
And so I decided to enlist him in the measuring.
No, he can't help you with that.
And
that's not a task he can do.
We spent a rather hilarious 20 minutes on the question of where's my high shoulder?
Oh.
Like, Where does the shoulder join the neck? That's kind of the definition, right? And I'm pointing at it. I'm like, about there. And he's like, but that's not the highest part of your shoulder. And I'm like,
what
are you talking about? And he's like, well, your shoulder's kind of got a little hump in it.
No, that's
I'm like, dude, you're not helping. But I'm like, dear, it's right there. And we went back and forth on this for several minutes. And every time I'd ask him to measure something, he looked at the measuring tape like he wasn't quite sure what it was meant to do, but he was willing to try.
Yeah.
And so we spent quite a bit of time on that. And at the end, I'm like, you know what? I've got some numbers on paper. I'm going to try and translate them into a block, and then I'm going to see what pinching and whatever does. But I was mentioning this to my friend Beverly, who's taking the class at the same time. She and I are meeting next week, as we record this, in Atlanta to hang out. And she said, maybe you bring your stuff. And we do it in the hotel room. It'll take all of an hour.
We've already talked about this. You're going to Atlanta next week, not next weekend.
No, yeah. Well, it's next week through Saturday,
Okay. I'm also going to Atlanta because I'm going to the Illumin Oakland Cemetery light-up graveyard thing.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm going to be there up through Saturday morning when I drop her at the airport, and then I'll be heading out. But it's going to be another opportunity to kind of try and do this, which I'm really, really excited about. But it means that I'm a little bit stalled, and that's why I started sewing the jet, is because I don't need like another 10 skirts. And so I needed something I could just do as a palate cleanse.
Sure.
So I'm still very enamored of the slow sewing concept. I still want to really hone in on that. However, I have determined that I'm probably going to do 1 to 2 makes a week that aren't that necessarily, unless the slow sewing needs my attention more. So I'm swapping my focus out a little bit, but I'm not diving back into making 6 or 7 items a week.
At this time. So
that's the path that I'm on right now.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds pretty good. Well, do you have any news from the sewing community?
So for sewing news, I am participating in an interview series called Breaking the Rules of Sewing. It is a free virtual event beginning on April 29th. You can watch along live as a bunch of clothing sewing experts share how they break the rules and embrace their artistry or make the process their own. The show will be live, and at the end, there will be time to ask questions, and each show is recorded and available on the website of the person running it. And I'll have links in this that we'll make available through a variety of means, because this is being released right before this series starts. Okay. I'm going to be there. For me, it'll be on May 2nd at noon Eastern time is when I'll be participating. I know that Brooksanne Camper is also a part of this one. She'll be one of the people being interviewed.
Does she know that you're like her biggest fan?
I imagine she suspects.
Okay, cool. Does she know that you name drop her like 7,000 times a podcast?
I mean, I tag her every time I name drop her.
Cool.
So, yes.
Okay, got it.
It's an interview series. I'm pretty excited to get to participate. When I went off and looked at it, it has me labeled as Jenny Hassler from Insomniacs.
Oh, I went and clicked your link. I saw that too. Look, I clicked the link you sent me.
I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
I don't always click links. I clicked that one.
So that's my first
and
piece
of news.
And you
didn't fish me. Thanks.
My second bit of news is just that right after this releases is Atlantis Frog Tales. And I really, really think I'm going to go. I've got a hotel room. Dad's planning to go with me. I've taken pressure off myself on what I was going to make. You may remember I had an elaborate make a custom skirt, make a corset, put some boning in it. I had a really elaborate plan. My new plan is, what is a dress that I consider tried and true that I could practically make with my eyes closed? I'm going to make that out of the pretty floral fabric I bought. I'm going to call it a day. I'm going complex. So I feel really proud that I made that choice.
On the team.
But I thought, you know, I don't know how much we've dived into our first Frog Tales, only Frog Tales that we've done together. We went to the Frog Tales in Asheville.
I don't even remember what I wore.
2019.
What did I wear?
I don't know.
Photos of us anymore? I made us clutches.
I do have pictures of that. And if you want, I can look some up. And I'll give them to you to attach with this. But I wore a tiara and a leopard print Vogue knit dress made out of double brushed poly.
Oh.
Which I can't even imagine.
Why would you have done that?
My universe being. Well.
Did you hate yourself?
Here's why I did that. When you asked me to go, I wasn't currently sewing for myself. That wasn't a thing I was doing. And the invite said, wear something you made for yourself, right? Like that's the invite. The sure, brief is wear something you made. You offered to make something for me. You pointed out you'd already made me things I could wear.
Oh yeah.
But I said,
man, pour one out for that. I used to do that.
You did.
That
and
so
I said,
ago.
I think I actually have to make something. I think that's what the rule is. And so I went down to Joann's and I started looking through the Vogue patterns because my recollection was that Vogue patterns, not infrequently, would have really wildly larger than life body finished measurements compared to body size, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went off and I did that. And the dress that I picked out basically looked like sort of a sheathy dress with some baggy hips. But if you grabbed the point on the baggy hips, you could pull it out like wings. It came out as like giant triangles sticking out from your body. I made a dozen more of this because it was a dress that I could just make straight out of the package that fit me because my upper body often fits into straight sizing and big four patterns and my lower body never ever does. But if you attach giant triangle wings to the hips.
Oh my God, I remember this dress. It's screaming back to me now.
It totally
fit. The model was like one of those pissy looking 1990s models.
Yes, for
with
sure.
With very dark lipstick and super flat slicked hair.
Absolutely.
I remember this now.
And so this is what I wore to it. And we stopped at the garage
on 25
to do some shopping at the Art-O-Mat before we went off and did.
That was such a good time.
Did the rest of it. And so I really felt like we had a good time. Now, there were door prizes. I think we were a little bit intimidated when we got there. There was piles of fabric and patterns or something that you could pick from as well.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that. But we did try to do the, scavenger hunt. We like very aggressively tried to do the scavenger hunt.
Absolutely.
This I remember.
And we did a really good job, I thought, of aggressively doing the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, but I don't think we won anything from that. Oh, wait, how you won the thing.
That was part of the raffle prize.
Now I remember. Screaming back to me.
For the raffle prize, what I won was the opportunity to go up their table and pick out a pattern or something else from the table. And I had told you, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick out an item for you. What do you think you'd want? And when I went up to do it,
you lied to me.
I lied to you totally. And I got exactly what I wanted because I was so shocked to discover that they actually had things that were appropriate sized for me, a cashmere dress, the Pembroke dress, which I then went off and made just oodles and oodles of as well. And having found cashmere, I just started buying tons more dresses like that, things from them to be able to wear. It was for me, it was really transformative because it made the difference between my not sewing and my sewing, like, ceaselessly, just making so many things, as it were. And so it was meaningful to me. What else do you remember about that night? What was important to you?
I remember it being very pretty. And then it was like the first time you and I had like gone out as grown-ups to go do something together. And I didn't have Natalie. Like, true. I mean, I had her like she was born, but that she did not come with us to Frocktails.
But you weren't hanging out with her.
No. And it was just us. Oh, look, you found it. I thought that's what I wore. I was like 99% sure. So I was wearing this this would have been when Gertie from Charm Patterns used to make patterns for Butterick or possibly Simplicity. It's one of those.
One of the big
she
fours.
Had the cutest dress that had like a little cutout under your boobs. And I loved it. Hysterically, I don't make that dress anymore, even though now I have an under boob tattoo, which would be lovely in that dress. I don't even own that dress anymore. And so I had made this dress out of this like fun, I don't know. It's got like sewing machines and buttons and like little notions all over it. And that was my outfit. And yeah, you had a tiara on. Look at that. Oh, absolutely. I still have that necklace.
And I've sent you a copy of that so you can share it with our Patreon members as well when this episode comes out.
I'm going to try really hard to remember to do that.
But one of the, I thought, really awesome things about that, as you say, was that it was one of our first times really going out. And it was certainly one of our first times being adult sewists out in the world together. We also...
Oh, the pattern is Butterick 6413, apparently. I just found it on my Instagram. Hey, I found the thing.
I love it. Sorry. I love it.
Yes.
We also, and I feel like you may not remember this, we met someone there for the first time.
Did we? Who did we meet?
You're going to be so sad when I tell you who we met.
Wow, who did we meet?
Brooks Ann Camper.
Wait, we met Brooks Ann Camper there?
She was wearing...
Wait, does she know who I am because she's met me?
She was wearing...
Wait, does she remember me?
I don't know.
Hey, do you remember me, Brooks Ann Camper? I assume you're listening because you must, right?
She was wearing a pink or purple dress that went up in variegated tones.
Oh, I said hi to her. That she hand-dyed each color. Yeah, and I told her that her dress is pretty.
Because it was amazing.
Is she local?
She is from the Raleigh-Durham area.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if she's Raleigh-Durham... Carborough, Cary, or some other city.
She's from the Triangle.
She's from that area, but I don't know specifically what place in that
area
she might be from.
My hair was like neon pink. That was fun. Sorry, I'm looking at old Instagram photos of this dress. This was like my favorite dress for a long time. And I don't have it anymore. So sad. Tragic even.
So, yeah. But I think this is a really good segue because what's our topic today?
I moved away from the notes. Our topic... is remembering our makes.
Yeah. And we've just seen, like, literal evidence that Myra doesn't remember her makes.
Yes. And that's, so my favorite part, and these are the show notes that I uploaded already because I've scheduled them all to go out. So you'll see this, that my note for this question, the question is, how do you remember your makes? And mine is, I don't. Mm-hmm. I have no memory.
I think that's fair.
I don't.
If you're not wearing it, if you haven't come across it in your closet lately, is it something you can pull to mind?
It's my ADHD just having a field day. It does not remember if I don't look at it. Except I do remember this dress now. And I remember how much I love this dress. Damn, I don't think I have that pattern anymore. Because my cats peed on my patterns at one point, and I was like, well, I'm not going to keep this.
I mean, I can understand where them cat into the peeing sun. Would be have a thing where
you
you're like, maybe I'm done.
Some of them I tried to like trace on a new paper, and it was fine. But some of them I was just like, this is not worth the effort. Mm-hmm. And now I have some regret because that pattern was great. Okay.
Well. I think that that's important. I think the part where you've already uploaded these may be an issue since I only today filled mine in, just side note.
Wait. But. Wait. Oh, no. I uploaded. No, wait. Wait. I uploaded all the old ones. I didn't do this one. I did all the old ones for it. We've already recorded.
Right.
Okay.
So anyways. I, for remembering my makes, as people who may have listened to me on Punk Frockers probably are aware, I keep a spreadsheet.
Yeah, you little accounting dweeb.
And I have put a link to it in these notes so that if you, a link to a template of it, not a link to mine, but a link to a template of it that has two tabs. The first tab shows you how I record the data about what it is that I've done before. And the second tab has a whole bunch of fabric shops that I sourced by asking Instagrammers what their favorite fabric stores were. So I have Whoa. A whole bunch of possible shopping options for you. But every year when I do it, I add a new tab with the date on it or the year on it. And then I just start again calculating how much I've made.
Hang on, I'm gonna copy this and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna commit to not doing this, but I'm gonna pretend I'm gonna do this.
So I've got a backup because our next question is, what's our best tip for remembering? And I'm just gonna skip yours because yours is Wait. I suck at it.
Isn't that what I put?
And I'm gonna guess yeah. you did.
I put NA. Yep. This isn't a thing. My neurospicy says absolutely not.
But I'm gonna skip that and I'm gonna say, download the sample spreadsheet and give it some thought. Whenever it occurs to you, go ahead and record it. But I often forget. And what'll happen is I'll go into it and be like, well, I'm going to put what I just made today in there. And I'm like, crap, I haven't updated it since January. And because I also record my stuff on Instagram or in photography.
Oh, I don't do that.
But whether you put it on the gram or not, if you take a picture and you back your pictures up to Google, for example, it gives you the date you made it, you can go back and do it. So in any way that you're going to do it, you have to have something. For me, I have to have physical evidence of what I did and when I did it. And for me, that's photographs. And I go back through either my Instagram or my Google Photos and I just log things all at once.
You have a little thing that says, did you talk about it on the podcast? Look at you being all fancy.
I do. I've always had a column for that because I don't want to, when we talk about what we've made, I don't want to just keep telling about the most recent thing if I didn't tell about the other things. So
you're a mess. I love it.
So that's part of my thing, but that's my way of doing it. And since 99% of what I do does end up on the
gram. My God, there's so many things on here.
You don't have to fill them all out. These are just what's useful
to me.
Look
at how many things you have.
So what do I have?
I don't know. You have max hip, date, pattern, designer, fabric source, fabric types, description, paid or free, still in my closet, yards of fabric, test, type of garment, Instagram hashtag, and notes.
Yeah, and the test one is there because I do a lot of test sews, and some of those I can't share about right away, so I try make sure I've made a note for that. Still in my closet, I try and go update at the end of the year so I can see of all the things I made, how many of them made the cut.
Oh, that's an interesting exercise.
Yeah.
See, okay.
So and the number of yards is because, honestly, I buy my fabric. I know about my average yard cost, and so it totals it for me, and at the end of the year, I can go, oh, God, that's 1,800 yards of fabric. What does that mean? Like, what? How does that math out, right? Or that's 300 yards or whatever it is.
This is fascinating. So this actually might work for me, and here's why.
Okay, because it's a spreadsheet.
Well, yes, one, I love a spreadsheet, and I do see you have a nice rounding function happening up here. hello, fellow accountant youths. What I've learned about myself is that if I have to update something in the moment, I will absolutely not do it because I like mm-hmm. the happy juice of like not doing work. However, I do sit down and look at all my stuff first thing in the morning and like look at all of my like financial stuff and look at like all of my, yeah. just my everything. So I have spreadsheets for like tons of stuff. And what I've learned is if it's on a Google Drive, I actually have a higher chance of doing yes. it because I'm going to sit here and type all my stuff in all at the same time and it's all in yep. one place. But if it's like a stupid app or if I have to like write it down, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
Did you notice what the rounding function is for?
It's rounding your estimated tan.
Total makes. And so what it is when you started to fill things in there, it takes and it looks at how many days
have elapsed and have elapsed
and
then happen.
And does math.
Yeah,
and,
that's funny.
And it's really simple, but it
you're
helps
projecting.
Me. Yeah,
you're projecting your financials.
That's right. To look at it and feel like, am I in the last 2 years that I've done things, my goal has been to intentionally make less. And that feature helps me to see, am I on track to do less like I wanted to? And it's just really helpful for keeping me mindful.
See, okay, so we're going to talk more about this in another podcast, I'm certain. But sort of related to this is this lovely spreadsheet that I made. This spreadsheet I will share. But basically, it is a spreadsheet that talks about the days of a con, all the outfits you could possibly wear, and it has like dynamic lists.
Love it.
But wait, then there's more. When you pick something, it actually auto-generates your packing list based on what's in your like historic inventory. So I am a genius at Excel sometimes and made a very pretty thing.
It.
Oh, and it always picks out today and then it gets, it tells you how many days there are until the con based on your date of departure. And it gets scarily orange and red as it gets closer so that you know you're screwed. It's great.
I like it. And I want to adapt this for packing for vacations.
Oh, it's great because, see, like, I have this, all of the things. It's like, this is the outfit I want to wear for this, and this outfit. It has every piece that goes with Elsa Frozen Fever. I know all the bits that go with it. And then if I pick it on this list, it will automatically put it on my packing list, so I don't have to think about it. And it's in order by day.
I like it.
Oh, it's nice. I'll share this at
some point.
Definitely
share a link for that at some point.
I know. I need to. I have this because it's great. It makes life much better.
So, why do you remember?
Oh, right.
Your makes.
I forgot. We're still doing a podcast.
We are. We have to get back to that.
Okay. What was my thought? Oh, yeah. Mine says, in theory, because it would help me learn from them and also to appreciate some of the creativity of my pieces when I no longer have them. But I do say in theory, because in application, I don't remember them. So this topic is hard for me.
But that's where my spreadsheet comes in handy for me, is one of the things it does for me, especially the the column that says, still in my closet, is it helps me to look at it and go, well, what left?
That's true.
What did I make that I really believed
was going to be great, and then it wasn't?
And then it wasn't. And what about that? And I can start to suss things out. Like, researching that, looking at that, analyzing that, taught me such a flippant important lesson that I like animal prints, especially cat prints, but I only like them if they're in the same color family. So if you put blues and greens and aquas together to make a cat print, I'm there.
Yeah.
But if you take contrasting colors or anything else, I'm not there. I love it in theory on the bolt. I'll buy 5 yards of it like that.
I thought you were talking about leopard print this whole time, but you are talking about actual literal cats.
But it could be leopard print too.
Yeah.
I've had leopard prints in a variety of things. My favorite leopard print dress that I still own is blue with navy spots. It's a pale blue and it's got navy and black spots on it. I love that one.
Did you give me that kind of nice heavier weight linen leopard print that's like kind of a darker, like regular leopard print?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a dress out of that that I fucking adore and I wear all the time. That is like my favorite dress. It makes my boobs look really nice. I wear it all the time.
I'm so glad.
It's a great dress. Excellent fabric choice.
But having analyzed what I like about it, I would like that better if it had been blues, navies, and greens than leopard print color, because what I learned is every stinking regular leopard printy thing I've ever owned, I've gotten rid of. Even though, theoretically, I really like them.
This is a great idea. I should do this. I can do this if it's on like a little thing. I believe in you. It would be fine. It would be fine.
I believe in you. For me, though, that's what I'm doing. It's just trying to learn my taste. And I think some of that is sort of delayed because I spent a lot of my adulthood and younger years wearing what was available.
That's true.
Instead of what I wanted to wear. And I think also there's something about turning 40 and then 50 that puts you into a place where, if you're lucky, you gain a mindset that's just a fuck it mindset. Yeah, where you're like, you know
what?
Oh,
I found 30 has actually done a
lot
of that.
That's great.
30 and divorce actually have done that.
But if you can do it earlier, that's amazing. But I think the older you get, the more milestones you hit, you're suddenly at a place where it's like, actually, it's just me. I'm the one who should matter for these things. There are lots of ways you should be considerate of others. What you put on your body probably isn't one of them.
No, I've learned that I really enjoy wearing vintage 1950s fashions, including sometimes dressing up to the nines with like a petticoat. I'm currently wearing a petticoat. And that I don't care if people make fun of me for it, because it is really fun and what I want to wear.
Yep.
And if I want to be super dressy one day and then not dressy the next day, that's okay.
We've got a friend local to Asheville that has very much that attitude about her dress, Barbie Angel. Mm-hmm. You can see it in everything she wears and the joy that she exudes with it, that the concern isn't, is this what other people are wearing?
Yeah.
Is this what other people would want me to wear? That doesn't enter the equation. It's, ooh, I wonder what thing I could do with this great piece I just found. How could I make it more me? And I love that approach. So yeah, what's one of your favorite makes of all time?
I like this one because I put womp womp at the end.
I did like the womp womp feature.
One of my favorite makes of all time is my medieval poison ivy gown, which is one of the first big cosplay things I ever made. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I went for it, and I went for it in a really big way. But unfortunately, over the years, I got rid of it, basically. So I don't have it anymore, which is very sad. But, which is where the womp womp comes in. But it was very cool.
I'm actually super sad that you don't have that anymore.
I don't have it.
Because you 100% should have that anymore.
I think it got stored on the carport at one point when we lived with you, and it got damaged by the rain.
Totally destroyed. Yeah.
And so I think it just, it got gotten rid of. But it was cool. It had a, It had like a big skirt with like this faux moss looking silk in the middle. And I had hand glued all these individual ivy leaves around the bottom. And I made a pomander out of like succulents and roses. And I made a giant collar that lit up that was covered in ivy and vines. And I made a polymer clay Batman necklace that broke immediately because I didn't understand that wasn't a thing.
I mean, there's learning there, right?
And like the top had like pretty leaf looking sleeves with glitter tulle. It was like so complicated. It was the first thing I ever made that was like complicated and detailed.
But it was amazing. And it was lovely. It lit up.
Yeah. And... Oh yeah. It was very cool. I did win best in show at least one con. I think two actually in that dress. And then I competed at Dragon Con and got my ass handed to me because it was really cool, but it was not that cool.
Well, and also like there may have been some things about it where there was a,
Oh, it was held together with hot glue and hope.
So, yeah, but I did have to make this cool, maybe the skill set they're looking
the
for.
The collar on it was great because it was like a giant Elizabethan frill-ish collar, but I had to make it in a weird way because it was all made out of wire and flowers and lights, so it was super freaking heavy. But it meant it had this like under bust, like not a corset, but like a belt basically that like belted on, and then I put my shirt on over the top. And so there's some great photos of me breastfeeding Natalie in that because I had kind of taken the top half off so I could breastfeed her, and I got the collar off because it was heavy and it hurt my shoulders.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
It was a ridiculous gown.
I was going to try and find at least a picture of it of some sort that we can include in the show notes.
Yeah, we can put them in the show notes. Look at you putting pictures in the show notes while we talk.
That was worthwhile. For me, so I actually was really surprised by my answer to this one. So the question is, what's one of your favorite makes of all time? And as I stopped and tried to think about all the different things I've made, and I've made some really cool costumes. I made a Halloween costume for your sister that was her riding a merry-go-round horse.
Oh, I remember
that was
that one.
Super duper cool. I made the costumes for the two of you. You were a merchant class person and Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And we used macaroni and gold spray paint and like all of
I
that.
Mean, not
was,
for mine.
Not for yours. Yours was
itchy.
What you asked for.
made out of wool.
We're going to consider that the fleece.
Flax.
Okay. But it was, I've done a lot of those types of things. I've done other types of costuming. I've done wedding dresses for other people. I've done beautiful. Just like lots of stuff that I'm really proud of that I really, really love. But when I really stop and think about it, I have come to appreciate the wedding dress that I sewed for myself.
Your wackadoodle wedding dress?
I made my wedding dress just a few days before I got married in 1990. It is a gray jacquard wedding dress. I didn't have a pattern. I lay the fabric out on the floor in my apartment and cut it freehand. And then I put it on my body after I'd basted it together, and I pinched and sewed to make things fit the way they were supposed to fit. I intentionally made a drop waist, and I made the drop waist semi-fitted. It pulls in at the waist. It pops back out from my huge hips.
Oh, yeah, it is a drop
hips.
Waist. Look at and you.
And even then, I loved the idea of gathering over the biggest part, the fullest part of my hips. I was not at a place in my life where I did not have huge, huge mounds of internalized fat bias. I was at a place in my life where I couldn't imagine why anybody would love me or my body. It was a very hard space, and I still managed to put together what I think was a really lovely dress, a dress that I felt good about. And so I think if I had to pick, that's probably my all-time favorite make, even though I don't know that I'd ever want to make that same design again, or that I would ever use that fabric again, or any of those things. But from a just proud of how far I had to go to make that happen, I think that's the one.
I like it.
You know,
plus you're pregnant in that photo.
I am. And we look like little babies in this photo.
Shotgun
We're
wedding.
So young.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was one of your most disappointing?
I like that you added a little note on here that was asking if it was from you. I put this dress. I got this really pretty cotton fabric that has beetles with astrological mm-hmm. symbols on it, which you did not give me. I bought myself at Joann's. And it was like cool and has this like background print. And then I was like, you know what? I want to make details on this because that's a great idea. And so I got this other sort of matching blue floral lace and put it as like an overskirt on the bottom half and was like, this will be cute. And then it turns out it's super not cute. And I really should just take the overskirt off and maybe I'd like it again, but I haven't done that either. So mostly it just sits in my closet making me sad.
Yeah. I do
womp
know
womp.
That I gave you some fabric recently that had big beetles on it. And
oh, yeah.
It had a green background.
It's so sitting on a shelf in my closet.
You have something else you might be able to use.
It's not the same witchy vibe, but yes.
I know.
Because it was like so cool. It's like fireflies, but like, they're like, it's like beetles that have the astrology symbols behind them, but you can barely see it. And they look like they're constellations, like the Beatles are made of constellations. Cool. It's a very cool fabric, but I did it to disservice. I did it bad. What about you?
Anything I make in rainbow fabric. Whether, like, I have, I made a Tate, one of those giant Tate oversized jumpsuits out of Lisa Frank rainbow leopard print.
Sure.
And all of that ticks my boxes. I love an oversized jumpsuit. I love Lisa Frank. I love leopard print. I love rainbows. I love all those things. You put them together in one garment. I'm struggling to take it out of my closet and give it away, but I also absolutely don't wear it.
That's me with this dress. So it's I need to get rid of it or fix it, right. But I will do neither. It just sits there. I can't fix
this because it's...
The fabric?
It's the fabric.
Well, give it to me and then I can make some. Well, actually, no, because I won't wear it either. That's not my jam.
It's a huge amount of fabric. You could probably make something out of it, but I don't know that you'd like it.
Is it
but
stretch?
It's the same for... No, it's not stretch. It's a woven.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I'll show you later. Okay. But I've got a lot of things like that. Like I'll buy blue fabric that's got actual rainbows on it and clouds and smiling suns and all kinds of things where I'm like, this is the most adorable fabric. Then I make it into a favorite dress. And then I'm like, but I also still don't like this. And so for me, it's rainbow fabric, which I should 100% love and do, but not when it's on my body. Yeah. So that's my answer to that one.
I'm sorry.
Me too. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
But it's part of learning what I actually want, because then I buy less of the fabric I definitely don't want.
Yeah, but sometimes I want that fabric.
I understand, and that's your tragedy.
Why will you not support me in my fabric buying needs?
I do. I have so much orange fabric.
I'm a single mom.
Sometimes yellow fabric, just for you.
A single mom. Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Okay.
Is there anything else we want to talk about on this one?
I don't think so. I think we fully covered it.
Well, and that's the until next time.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Myra.
Good night.
Sleep tight.
Wait, it's sleep well.
Sleep well.
We won't. We know we won't.
Oh my God, this is terrible. Insomniacs is created, performed, edited, and produced by Jenny Hassler and Myra Ashland. Please check us out on Instagram at Insomniacs, at J.O. Hassler, and at Atomic Baby Cosplay. You can find our community over on patreon.com/insomniacspodcast as well.
Good night.
Sleep well.
We know we won't.